It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
The vault is open. I'm Pete McCarthy. It's the event that made Sandy Koufax not only a baseball star, but a cultural icon. The 1965 World Series. Koufax had just finished a second Cy Young campaign, racking up league highs with 26 wins, 27 complete games, and 335 and two-thirds innings. He also led the league in ERA and strikeouts and pitched the sixth perfect game in Major League history. Game 1 of the World Series was scheduled for October 6th, Yom Kippur. A member of the Jewish faith, Koufax decided he would be unable to pitch that day in deference to the holiday. Don Drysdale started in Minnesota against the Twins and lost 8-2. Koufax did start Game 2. He was defeated as well, 5-1. Down 2-0 in the series, the Dodgers returned to L.A. and did a number on the Twins, winning Games 3, 4, and 5, outscoring the Twins by a combined margin of 18-2. Koufax tossed a complete game shutout in Game 5, striking out 10 despite a sore arm, famously saying afterwards he felt 100 years old. Back in Minnesota for Game 6, the Twins won 5-1, setting up a decisive Game 7. That caused Dodger manager Walter Alston to make the toughest decision of his career, to start future Hall of Famer Don Drysdale on his regular 3 days rest, or go to future Hall of Famer Sandy Koufax on 2 days rest. Not a bad problem to have, but certainly not an easy choice, especially with Koufax ailing. Alston kept his decision a secret to everyone but Koufax until the day of the game, telling his team he was going with the lefty. Now setting the scene for the most important baseball game in 1965, Joe Garagiola and Byron Sam at Metropolitan Stadium in Minnesota.
Here are the lineup, Washington Nationals, the big 7-3. And we need to say it 100 ways, and I'm not going to say it because there's no tomorrow. Drysdale said it best. Rick Down before the game said, isn't this something? You play 162 games in a regular season, you play 36 in spring training, you play 6 up in the World Series, and it's all wrapped up in the 9 innings that we play today. That's it. End of story. The winner's the champ. Well, the loser, he just goes home, and he waits for the World Series loser's chair, which is not too hard to take, which will come around Christmas time. There'll be about a $3,000 or $4,000 difference between winner and loser. Right now, the bullpen crew for the Dodgers is heading out, and it's led by Don Drysdale, pick number 53. For the Los Angeles Dodgers, it'll be Maury Wills to lead off, playing shortstop. Wills shortstop. Batting second, it will be the third baseman, Jim Gilliam. Gilliam at third base. Batting third, center fielder, Willie Davis. Davis in center field. In the cleanup spot, Lou Johnson in left field. Johnson batting fifth. Ron Sperry. Sperry will be in right field. Batting sixth, it will be the first baseman, Wes Parker. Parker at first base. Batting seventh, the second baseman, Dick Krzyzewski. Krzyzewski at second base. Batting eighth, John Roseborough, the catcher. Roseborough, the catcher. And batting ninth, starting pitcher, Sandy Koufax. Koufax, batting ninth. For the Minnesota Twins, leading off will be the shortstop, Tonio Versailles. Versailles is shortstop. Batting second, the center fielder, Joe Nocek. Nocek in center field. Batting third, the right fielder, Oliva. Tony Oliva in right field. In the cleanup spot, third baseman, Killebrew. Harmon Killebrew at third base. Batting fifth, the catcher, Earl Patton. Batting the catcher. Batting sixth, left fielder, Bob Allison. Allison in left field. Batting seventh, Don Minter at first base. Minter. Batting eighth is Quillacy. At second base, Quillacy. And the pitcher is Jim Cox. Out against Koufax. The umpire for today's game. It'll be Ed Hurley at the American League behind the plate. It'll be Tony Benzon of the National League at first base. John Flaherty of the American League at second base. Ed Sudall of the National League at third base. Down the line to left field, Bob Stewart of the American League and Ed Barco of the National League. This is it. The seventh game. of the 1965 World Series, and there'll be Koufax, Stewart, and Jim Cox. It was interesting to listen to the way that Sandy Koufax came to find out that he was a pitcher in the clubhouse. Without much ceremony, Walter Alston walked over, put the ball in his locker, and that's the way they tell you. And now, ready to bring the play-by-play from the Philadelphia Phillies, here is Byron Scott.
All right, Joe, thank you very much, and hello, everybody. Bloomington, Minnesota, right down to the last game of the World Series. And, of course, Scott and Koufax have not been strangers. They've battled each other here and in Los Angeles. The first time around, Cox came off the victor, and the last time they met in Los Angeles, it was Koufax winning. Joe pointed out the selection of Koufax, and there have been reams of stories written about it, and Koufax and Drysdale, of course, taking it just like you would expect them. They're great sportsmen. They haven't missed a turn all year. Either one, I guess, would be a good selection. And as Walt Austin mentioned, he said, you writers have the second guess. Maybe they'll beat Koufax, and you'll say, maybe I should have started Drysdale. But he says, I only have one choice. The big husky, lefty, Cox. So much is riding with him. He was an 18-game winner over the year. He pitched a brilliant game here in beating Koufax, and then was knocked out in the third inning at California. It's another packed house. The temperature reading here in Minnesota is 60 degrees. The wind is out of the northwest at 9 miles an hour, blowing to left. If anything, the ball is riding well to left field.
Koufax was not sharp in the first inning, walking both Tony Oliva and Harmon Killebrew. That left two on with two out for Twins catcher Earl Batty.
Back-to-back walks given up. Last of the first inning, no score, but Minnesota with an early threat. Two out. On deck is Bob Allison. And he's taking a little more time as he studies. And the 1-2, curveball, he's struck him out. That is all for Earl Batty. Koufax will get his second strikeout. Minnesota, no run, no hit, two left on. The end of one inning of play from Bloomington, Minnesota. Dodgers nothing, Twins nothing.
The lefty with the early escape jumped to the bottom of the third, still scoreless. Zuilo Versailles, the American League MVP in 1965 and a top-notch base runner, clubs a one-out single. Joe Nosek follows along with one of the key turning points.
And here's the pitch, and there goes the runner, a swing and a miss, the throw to second is late, and there he goes, he made it. Now there's a move here by the late umpire, Nosek won, and apparently we've had either an interference call. Here comes manager Mealy out, and Hermie is going through the motions of indicating that we might have had an interference call, y'all. I'm not sure, but they're calling Versailles back. I don't know if it's interference as far as catcher tipping the bat, then the Nosek would get the first base, or if it's an interference with the throw, and Versailles has to go back, and that's it. Right now, Mealy and Ed Elliott are discussing it, along with Nosek, who is just listening. It could be an obstruction more than an interference, and Nosek, apparently that's what happened. He interfered on the throw, so it's really a double penalty in a way, and if Versailles has to go back and Nosek is out. That's a call you don't see made very often in baseball. Hurley was right on it. First in the action of Versailles' going, Nosek's going on the pitch. We couldn't follow that, actually, behind the plate, so Nosek is out.
Another opportunity squandered by the Twins, and we're scoreless through three. To the next frame we go.
Nevertheless, we're rolling now to the top half of the fourth inning. And here to lead off for the visiting Dodgers is Will Johnson, who takes the ball. Koufax has now racked up six strikeouts. Cox has two strikeouts. And the city lefty delivers with swing and a miss. 1-1. Johnson made a miss for a hit in the first inning. Now later attacking, caught the ball, but then fell down. Fly ball well hit the left field. Deep. Is it fair or fair? It's in a long way, and it is a home run. It just got around the right side of the foul pole. So Will Johnson has hit a home run and knocked the Dodgers right into a 1-0 lead. Well, Will Johnson, his second home run in this World Series. And boy, is he ever happy if he comes over that plate. Hit a 1-1 pitch and hit it well down the line. His home run over at Dodger Stadium was also a chop down the left field line. He got that one in the 8th inning against a pitcher by the name of Pike. All right, Bailey hits one way back in right field, and that ball is in there. As right fielder Olivo stumbles to get it, Bailey coming in with a double. A two-base hit into the right field corner. So, Bailey comes up with his 11th hit of the series, and he has hit in all 7 games. So, a home run and a double. That ball hit right at the face of the wall where it says 330. And there goes the hurry-up call to the bullpen. Still, nobody out. Dodgers batting here in the 4th inning. All right, the batter is Parker. They're looking for a punt. There's a bounding ball to the first. Here comes Fairley around third. He will head and score. Oliva drops the ball. Parker's going to go on to second base, and he's going to make it. Oliva tried to hurry the pickup, and he followed the ball in right field. Mitcher was moving in, looking for the punt, and Parker very politely hit the ball right by. A single to right, producing the second run. Los Angeles leads. Elroy is going to be charged to Oliva in right field. And L.A. leads by a score of 2-0, and still there's nobody out.
And that will be all for the Dodgers' offense, held scoreless over the next 6 innings by 4 Twins relievers. And by the way, if you wonder why Koufax retired at just 30 years old, seemingly at the top of his game, listen to Sam and Garagiola discuss his post-game routine.
One of the most interesting phases of Koufax is how they work on this fella after he pitches the ball game. He has an arthritic condition, and actually they take a couple of hours when the game is over to work over his celebrated left arm. Here is a pitch. He hits a tapper to the mound. Worthington is after the ball, and he goes in time. Koufax is out, but the other two runners are at bat. That's Worthington over to Minkus. And right after a game, they ice that arm down, and then, Joe, as I understand it, they sort of milk the circulation of that arm.
Jack Anderson, I tell you, get a regular routine. They do pack it in ice, and they milk it down. Much that friend just pretty much the same way for melting it down. What he describes is getting the bad blood out of there. Now, I don't know whether you get good or bad blood by melting it down, but these pitchers, I tell you, have to take care of their arms. Koufax, I tell you, though, it's like Big Sister said, he may have one's right, but you don't get it between the first and ninth inning. It never sees the father when he's on the mound.
Jump to the top of the 5th, one out, nobody on. Koufax having just retired 11 of 12 when things get interesting.
On the scoreboard, it's 2 runs, 5 hits, no errors for the Dodgers, no runs, 1 hit, 1 error for the Minnesota Twins. That 1 hit, a single by Versailles, as Koufax hung a curveball, and Versailles hung out of rope, right back up the middle in the center field. That's been the only base hit. Here is Quillisby, who pops the shortstop. Fastball is his strike. Koufax in the first inning was very high with his curveball. It looked like he couldn't get loose, but since that first inning, he's been tough. He struck out 6. He's walked through postgame in the first inning. High inside, moving back. It's 1-1, 1-out. Nobody on. Bottom half of the 5th inning. Sandy Koufax against Alan Worthington. Jim Cott was his starter. Willisby waits, and here's the 1-1 pitch. It's outside. And it's ball 2. 2 balls and 1 strike. Quillisby takes a look at Billy Martin. In the on-deck circle is Rich Rollins. He'll be used as a pinch hitter. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Hold on. Oh, well in. Left field. Johnson going back. Back. He won't get this one. It's off the wall. Quillisby round first. Hits for second. And will stop there as Johnson gets the ball back to the infield. Frank Quillisby hits one off the wall. Right to the right of the 365-foot marker. And so Quillisby has a double, and the Twins have a base runner at second with Rich Rollins, the hitter, a pinch hitter. That's the second base hit for the Minnesota Twins. The single by Versailles in the 3rd inning, and now the double by Quillisby. Rich Rollins, a right-handed batter. Second base. Dodgers 2, Twins nothing. Bottom of the 5th inning, 1 man out. Rollins waiting. Koufax gets his sign. A
I think plenty of time, too much time, in fact. Rollins back down. Rollins is a picky type hitter. He's constantly moving in the box, swinging the bat, looking around. Here's the pitch by Kopech. It's high, ball one. As soon as there's a base hit, you can look at the bullpen and see action. Both the Twins and the Dodgers have action. Drysdale for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Kopech at the belt. Checks full of feet, delivers to Rollins. High, ball two. Two balls and no strike. For the Minnesota Twins, John Klinstein is throwing. Bottom half of the fifth inning, Dodgers lead 2-0. Rollins takes a good look at Billy Martin. 2-0 pitch, of course, is controlled by the manager. Twins trail by two, 2-0 to score. Pulisic at second base. After Minter popped up, Pulisic double left center. Kopech, at the belt, delivers to Rollins. It's a strike, a fat ball. Two balls and one strike. Kopech, a good fastball, an outstanding curveball. He has struck out six. Rich Rollins, a pinch hitter for Alan Worthy. Kopech. Ready once again. Pulisic, a lead off second base. The pitch to Rollins. His swung on and fouled back at two balls and two strikes. A fastball. Two and two to count. 2-0 to score. Bottom of the fifth inning, one man out. Outfield pretty much straight away. And two for Rollins. Rollins has only been a bat twice in this World Series. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Curveball is high and it's ball three. Three balls, two strikes, and Kopech thought he had a strike, and he walked around the mound. Roseboro flipped it to him. Three balls, two strikes to count. One man out. The on-deck hitter for Sy. Rollins in the box, back down, up with a good lead. Constantly moving the bat. Gets back in, adjusts his glasses. This is a big pitch for Sandy Kopech. The big time at bat for Rollins. Pulisic leads off second base. One man out. 2-0 Dodgers lead, bottom of the fifth. Here's now Kopech backs off the mound. Rollins backs out of the box. The real cat and mouse game going here. It's all part of a pitching pattern. Makes the hitter wait. Rollins says makes the pitcher wait. Now Kopech is rubbed across his shirt indicating and he wanted to switch signs, and obviously Roseboro doesn't want to switch signs, and he wants to go out and find out why Kopech wants to switch. And if the pitcher has a good reason, you go along with it. But if he says something like, I've got a hunch, then you've got a battle on your hands. When a pitcher rubs across like that, he wants a new set of signs. And before he makes the delivery, you've got to get together. You've got to make sure you're both thinking alike. Because the last thing you want is the pitcher to say, all right, I'll throw your pitch, and up comes a big cantaloupe. Three balls, two strikes. The meeting breaks up. Pulisic, second base, there's one out. Rollins is back in. Kopech is getting inside. At the belt. Delivers 3-2 to Rollins. It's high, and it's ball four. So Rollins draws the base on balls, and here comes manager Waller Alston out of the Dodgers dugout. This should be all for Sandy Kopech. John Drysdale has been throwing very hard. That's the third base on balls given up by Kopech. He gave up two in the first inning. And here in this fifth inning, Minter, the first hitter, fouled out his third baseman, Gilliam, and then Pulisic doubled up the left and left center field, and now Rich Rollins, the big hitter, has just thrown a base on balls. This is the meeting of the summit. Alston, Gilliam, Roseboro, and Kopech. Drysdale continues to throw, and Kopech will stay in the game as Alston. Gives out the instructions, and now Suzuki comes in. The hitter is for size, and all Suzuki wants to let Kopech know is who's covering. He gives the ball and hits back to him. And the Dodgers defense has been switching off. Usually, with a right-hand hitter, it's the second baseman who covers, but the Dodgers in Los Angeles switched off, and the second baseman held, and Morty Wills covered. Willis
Crosby is second base. Rollins is first base. One man out. 2-0 to score. It's the bottom of the fifth inning. Jorge Versailles, who is 1-for-2. He struck out the first and single to center. Time is called now. And once again, it's a meeting between Koufax and Rosebell. You can switch times, 2 or 3 times, with a man on his second base. You wouldn't think that Quillisby would be stealing the signs and relaying them, but you can't take it for granted that he's not. The best way to protect yourself is just to switch the sign, and all it takes is a flick of the mask or a touch of the shin guard or what have you. We're set once again. Quillisby is second, Rollins is first, one out. Versailles waits the pitch. He swung on a missed strike one, a high fastball. And with one swing of the bat, Versailles was going to give the Minnesota Twins a one-run lead. He was really going for the down. One strike. Versailles, an outstanding player for the Twins all year long. Tell his command to establish himself as a star. Go back to think of the roundabout. Quillisby, a short lead off second. Rollins a lead off first. One man out. 2-0, bottom of the fifth. Dodgers lead. Go back, set again. Here's the pitch. High. One ball, one strike. Back, you can see it turning it loose. And from as high as we are, you can hear Thomas and the big men of Roseboro. One ball, one strike. Versailles knocked out of the box now. Outfield straight away. Infield is back. Koufax is ready. Check the runners. The 1-1 pitch. Swung on, a foul ball, stay back, out of play. And it's down, one ball, two strikes. Drysdale continues to throw for the Dodgers. Clipstein throwing in the bullpen for the Twins. Mike Pulisic at second base. Rich Rollins at first base. Bottom of the fifth inning, 2-0 to score. Dodgers lead, one man out. Versailles waiting. Koufax. Takes off the sign. Has the one he wants. At the belt. Delivers the 1-2 pitch. Swung on and fouled back. Fastball. The count remains at 1-2. The Dodgers, and it goes way back to when Campanella was catching, have a fake takeoff. Whereas the catcher starts it. He'll indicate to the pitcher to take off whatever sign I give you, and then he can come back to the original sign. Except the case of not getting them a set groove to where it seems like on a cue the pitcher will deliver the ball. It'll take a little bit of time, then a little quicker, a little bit more time. All part of pitching. Koufax. Ready. Check the runner. The 1-2 pitch. Swung on a hot pass. Killiam, a backhanded grab. He steps on third for the fourth stop. What a play he made. Killiam, a backhanded grab of a ball that had two base hits written all over it. But Killiam, with quick reflexes, a backhanded grab, on one knee, was able to get back up in time to step on third, fourth Quillisby coming down from second. So there are two outs. So far, that has to be the key play of this ball game. And here is Joe Nothing. Nothing bounced out, then was out, as he interfered with John Roseboro, as Roseboro tried to throw out the ceiling with size. Here's the pitch. High, ball one. Nice play by Jim Killiam at third base. Such a fellow started as a coach. Every year since he's been with the Dodgers, it seems he goes to spring training looking for a job. Every year he plays 140, 150 games. Koufax delivers to Joe Nothing. Low. Two balls and no strikes in count. Two outs. 2-0. Dodgers lead. Bottom of the fifth inning, seventh game of the World Series. Rollins at second base. Versailles at first base. Koufax looks down. Four signs from Roseboro. Has it. At the belt. Here's the 2-0 pitch. Swung on it. The bounce is all the more he will. He's got it. The flip to Suzuki in time to get Versailles for the fourth play. And that ends the inning for the Minnesota Twins. And so it's the end of the fifth inning. The score is Dodgers, 2-0.
Koufax followed with a 1-2-3 sixth inning, and by the seventh, he was in stride.
Koufax gets his sign, delivers to Big Bob Allison. swung on. Hot shot. Wills in the hole. He shot. It's a long throw. This time, one out. Fine play by Maury Wills. Allison hits the ball sharply in the hole with Wills like a cat. Took 4 foot step to his right, braced himself and gunned one across, and Allison was out. Here is Don Mincher. Kopac. Takes a little bit of time. And for the first time in his game, actually picks the rosin bag up in his hand. He just dabs at it. One on it, popped up. In foul territory, Roseboro may have a play. He's waiting for it and makes the catch. Two balls, two strikes, two outs. 2-0 Dodgers lead. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and missed and struck him out. Pulls the out on strike. That's 8 strikeouts for Kopac. It's a 1-2-3 inning. And so at the end of the 7th inning, the score is Los Angeles 2 and Minnesota nothing. And it's 2 balls, 2 strikes. Bottom of the 8th inning. Dodgers 2, Twins nothing. Aronofsky and Drysdale in the Dodger bullpen. Perry for the Minnesota Twins. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, a fly ball down the left field line, foul territory. Lou Johnson crosses over, waiting for it, makes the one-handed grab. Nice play by Lou Johnson. Bob Stewart, the umpire, down the line, right there to see the play. Indicates with the right hand that Johnson made the one-handed grab, and there's one out. Rosai trying to get on to get the tying run to the plate. One ball, two strikes, one out. Dodgers 2, Twins nothing. Bottom of the 8th inning, Sandy Koufax. Left-hander gets his tie. Takes off one. Takes off another. Now he's got the one he wants. And here's the 1-2 pitch. Well on, well hit to left field. Johnson is going back, on the warning track. He's there and makes the catch. Joey Riverside flies east to Johnson on the warning track in left field, and there are two outs. Here is Joe Nothing. Nothing bounced out in the first, was out on an interference call in the third, hit into a forced play in the fifth. Two balls, one strike. Two outs. Joe Nothing waiting. Kopac, the rosin bag, rubbed up the ball. He's set now. And here's the 2-1 pitch to Nothing. Swung on, a bouncy ball to Maury Wills is short. He shot it over to first in time. Wills to Parker gets Nothing, and that ends the 8th inning for the Minnesota Twins. And so it's the end of the 8th inning. The score is Los Angeles 2, Minnesota nothing.
Through 8, Kopac yet to allow a run. Only 2 hits against him along with 2 walks, both in the first, and 8 punch-outs. But the lefty not yet done with his masterpiece.
The Dodgers lead. Bottom of the ninth. Oliva, Killebrew, and Manny. And the crowd now, one action. A very poignant crowd here, naturally. And this is the home ballpark of the Minnesota Twins. As Sandy Koufax has to get the 3 toughest outs in baseball. 3 outs to nail down a victory. And how tough, how much tougher does he get than this? This is the 7th game of the World Series. He's got a 2-run lead. He's got the American League lead hitter, a home run hitter in Killebrew, and Errol Batty. That's the story as Kopac gets set. Oliva is 0-2, struck out twice and walked. Kopac gets his 9, delivers. One run, and the back goes flying past Tim Lemon, and it's strike 1. Once again, Oliva lets go of the bat, goes for the pine saw, the rosin, everything else, but nothing seems to help him. Youngster back is going for a new bat. He's going to the bat rack. He's got himself a new bat. So it's strike 1 on Oliva. He's in the pine star right now. 1 strike to count. 2-0, bottom of the 9th. Oliva, the leadoff hitter here in the 9th inning. Kopac just standing on the mound. Drysdale continues to throw in the bullpen. He has made as many pitches as Kopac in the bullpen. Kopac gets his time. delivers the one strike pitch. High. One ball, one strike. Along with Drysdale, Paranazzi, who right now is just standing watching the action. And Koufax delivers the 1-1 pitch to Oliva. Swung on and missed, and it's strike two. One ball, two strikes. Tony Oliva, the hitter, the outfield, deep, the infield, back. Kennedy is going in to play third base for the Dodgers, replacing Gilliam. It's Kennedy at third, Will discharge, produced to second base, onto his first. Johnson, Davis, and Fairley from left to right. Here's the 1-2 pitch by Koufax. Swung on a bounce ball to Kennedy. He shot it. Here's the throw. It's in time. One out. Oliva bounces out. Kennedy, two-puncher. And it brings up Killebrew. Armin Killebrew, who walked in the first inning, snapped back to Koufax in the fourth, fouled out to Lou Johnson in the sixth. He is 0 for 2. Back. Up into the rocket back. Looks down for a time. Gets it. Delivers. It's low, a fair ball. And it's ball one. And really, the plate umpire takes a look at it. Puts another one in play. Roseboro immediately rubs it up. Then flips it out to his left-hander. Two runs, seven hits, no errors for the Dodgers. No runs, two hits, and one error for the Minnesota Twins. The two hits, a single by Versailles in the third, a double by Pulaski in the fifth. Killebrew swings and misses, and it's one ball and one strike. With one out. Koufax. Ready. The 1-1 pitch. High. All two. Two balls and one strike. $50,595 pays here. And I doubt if anyone has left this ballpark. One out. Nobody on. Two balls, one strike to count on Killebrew as Koufax once again delivers. Swung on a line drive. Base hit, left field. Killebrew is now with the single. Johnson gets the ball back to the infield. And it brings up Earl Patty. Killebrew singles to left. Comes in to talk to Sandy Koufax. There's one man out. Two to nothing is the score. Killebrew at first base. Now Trzynski comes in to talk to Koufax. Once again, making sure that Koufax is better to who is covering. Gives the ball to hit back to him. Earl Patty, the hitter. Patty struck out in the first. Line deep to center field, the fourth. Line hard to Will. In the sixth. He is 0 for 3. Kennedy at third base really tries the line to protect against the extra base hit. Koufax delivers. Swung on and missed in a strike one, a fastball. Kennedy wants to make sure the ball doesn't get between the bag and himself. To his left is a single. He wants to protect against the extra base. Killebrew leads off. Koufax delivers the batting. He's swung on his fist and it strikes to a high side fastball. Wes Parker at first base playing behind the base runner Killebrew. The big man is in the batter's box. Killebrew's run rear doesn't mean a thing. The tiny runs in the batter's box. Two strikes to count. One out. Koufax delivers the batting. Strike three is called a fastball and batty is called out on strike. There are two outs. And Bob Allison is the hitter. That's nine strikeouts for Sandy Koufax. And now Bob Allison, who struck out the second, bounced out the fourth, third to first, bounced out, struck the first in the seventh. Killebrew standing on the bag at first, two and out, two to nothing is the score. Dodgers lead, bottom of the ninth inning, Koufax. Looks down, catches sign, at the belt, catch the runner delivered. Swung on his foul back and strike one. In the bullpen, Drysdale and Paranazzi. Koufax comes down the stretch. Bottom of the ninth inning. Two men out. One strike to Allison. Killebrew at first base. Koufax Kopac takes off the sign. At the belt. Delivers. High. And it's ball one. One ball, one strike. Bob Ellis, a big, powerful right-hand hitter. He had a big home run yesterday. A two-run homer that gave one Ken Glenn a lead. Kopac looks down for his sign. Killebrew at first base. Two outs. One ball, one strike to count. Allison waits, and here's the 1-1 pitch. It's high, ball two. Two balls and one strike. Dodgers two, Twins nothing. Bottom of the ninth inning. Human out, one man on. Two balls and one strike on Bob Allison. He's the tying run at the plate. Kopac at the belt. Delivered. One on, it missed, and it's strike two. And Kopac really turned one loose. His hat, actually, he knocked it to one side as he really came following through. 2-0, bottom of the ninth. Two balls, two strikes, the count on Bob Allison. Two outs. Harlan Killebrew at first base. Kopac catches nine. At the belt. Now he's back off. A pinch of the Roger bag. Set once again. At the belt. Delivers 2-2 to Bob Allison. Four on at this. Allison is out to Kopac. Strikes out number 10 of the Dodgers. Become the world champions with Kopac. A three-hitter as he steps out the Minnesota Twins. The final score, 2-0. The Dodgers, 2-0 over the Minnesota Twins. And Sandy Kopac is being robbed by his teammates. And he comes on to pitch a three-hit shutout to defeat the Minnesota Twins, 2-0. Needless to say, this is the dressing room of the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers. And this is Vince Kelly, high atop the safety of a truck, hoping to bring to you some of the men who brought Los Angeles another championship. In 1959, the Dodgers brought the championship to Los Angeles. In 1963, the Dodgers brought the championship to Los Angeles. And in 1965, they have done it again. Now, here's the fella who gave the Dodgers the championship, standing in Los Angeles when you pitched your 7-0 shutout. You were quoted as saying after the game, "I feel 100 years old." So today, how do you feel?
101.
101.
I feel great, buddy. And I know I don't have to go out there anymore for about 4 months.
Standing good appears from upstairs that your fastball was really your only pitch for quite some time.
Yes, it was. I don't know what it was today. I didn't have a curveball at all, and I wasn't getting it over. I just favored the fastball and tried to get pretty good spots. If I got the lead, I tried to keep pulling the ball if I could.
You had four no-hitters, a perfect game. You struck out 18. You have a World Series record of 15 in one game. Where did this one fit in as far as thrills are concerned?
I don't know, Vinny. This has got to be as high as any of this whole year is a thrill. We were at ball club, and everybody said it was going to finish fifth. We lost Tommy Davis. They thought we were going to finish eighth. And we went on to win a pennant, and everybody did such a great job. Lou Johnson was a home run today. He came up with Tommy Gahert, did a great job, carried us for the first 10 days, 2 weeks he was here. And I think that kind of filled it up. Without Lou coming up and doing that great job right then, I think the whole ball from Hollywood passed a little bit.
Sandy, thank you so very much. And now go on back to sit down and relax a little while.
Thank you, buddy.
Sandy Kopac, the man who hit the home run, who hit two home runs in the series, who was called way out by his teammates, way out Lou Johnson.
You look great, Sandy. You look great, man.
Did you know your home run hit the foul pole?
Well, I made my turn, Benny, and if you know what was good, I stayed at home three to see whether the ball was going out. I knew it was good enough, but it was hooking so quick, and I got to first base, so I saw it bounce back, and I knew no one had thrown it back in.
You know, you're a living storybook. You have played on 18 teams in 15 years. Were there times when you were going to quit?
That's true. It'll be good year, Benny. This will be my last year. I've had got a chance to play in the Major League. And I finally got a shot. I had a little luck, I capitalized on it, and here we are today, the world champion. It's great, man. It's really great.
Well, that's the story, needless to say, that wild and static, before us, you name it, in the world champion Dodger dressing room. Now, let's go up to the quiet of the booth.
Thank you very much, Ben Skelly. A real happy gang of Dodgers, a real tribute to Walt Austin, who incidentally has won his fourth World Series. was only one.
And the final score at Minnesota's Metropolitan Stadium today, 2-0, with Sandy Koufax the winner and Jim Cox the loser.
So with just one pitch, the fastball, Koufax managed to shut down the Minnesota Twins and win his third World Series. Koufax would have another season for the ages in 1966, winning a career-high 27 games and posting a career-best ERA of 1.73. The season earned Koufax his third Cy Young. Once again, the Dodgers made it to the World Series. However, they were swept by the Orioles in four games. Koufax started Game 2, allowing four runs, though only one earned in six innings, taking the loss to Jim Palmer 6-0. That would be the final start of Koufax's storied career. At just 30 years old, Koufax was done. Arthritis in his elbow had started to affect everyday things such as combing his hair, not to mention the amount of painkillers. He was taking to get through a start. In 1972, Koufax was elected into the Hall of Fame, becoming the youngest former player to earn the honor. For more on Koufax, I recommend reading Jane Levy's book, Sandy Koufax. If you're interested in more on Koufax, I recommend reading Jane Levy's book, Sandy Koufax, A Lefty's Legacy. If you have any other games or moments you'd like to hear, be sure to send an email to pete.mccarthy@mlb.com. Thanks for listening. The vault is shut.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox, and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So, why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.